Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the August 19th Core MPO Technical Coordinating Committee. We'll start with some introductions. My name is Pamela Bernard. I'll be your chair today. I'm with Chatham County Engineering. And if everyone else here will go ahead and introduce themselves, please.
Mark Wilkes, Core MPO. Wakota Wong, also Core MPO.
Melanie Wilson, Executive Director of Core MPO MPC.
Sally, MPC, MPO.
Asia Brinton, Core MPO, MPC.
Alicia Hunter, MPO, MPC.
And on the phone, could just kind of go down the list. Let's start with FHWA.
In Marie Day, Federal Highway.
Thank you. And GDOT, Atlanta. If anyone from Atlanta, GDOT?
Yes. Yes, this is David Thompson, GDOT Intermodal Division.
Thank you. What about Ned? Is Ned on there? No? All right now. Okay. All right. How about GDOT District?
Okay. This is Katie Proctor from District 5.
Thank you. All right. Anyone else from GDOT? All right. Okay, moving on, let's start with City of Savannah.
Barry Stanton, Traffic Engineering, City of Savannah.
Great, thank you. City of Pooler.
Leon Davenport here for the City of Pooler.
Oh, there you are. Okay. Thank you. Hello. How about Garden City?
Ron Feldner's here.
Ron, thank you. Port Wentworth.
Trent Long here.
Hi. Let's see. Richmond Hill.
Les Fussell.
Thank you. Bloomingdale. Do you have anyone from Bloomingdale? All right. Savannah Airport Commission.
Yes, it's Mark Denmark.
Hey. City of Tybee.
Pete Goldronson, City of Tybee, City Engineer.
Hello, thank you for joining us. Chatham Area Transit. Bren's not with us today? Okay. Oh, she's not. Okay. They haven't found anybody else. Come. Okay. Georgia Ports Authority.
Yes, this is Jamie McCurry.
Hi. How about Bike Walk Savannah?
Hey, it's Kayla.
Hi, Kayla. Effingham County. Okay, and Town of Thunderbolt? And anybody else I missed? Okay, and I think we also have Alan Blake and possibly Deanna Brooks joining us from Chatham County Engineering.
Okay, Sean Brandon here from Savannah.
Thanks for admitting you're there. Hey, Sean. Anybody else? All right. Thank you. Do we have a quorum at this time? Yes. Wonderful. All right. So hopefully everyone's had a chance to review the agenda. Does anyone have any changes that they'd like to make to the agenda? Okay. Hearing none, I will request a motion at this time to approve the agenda as is.
So moved.
Thank you, Mark. I will second that. I do that. Okay. And all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
For you folks that are on the phone or online, if whichever's easier, if it's easier for you to put it in the chat, that's okay too, or just say it verbally, that's fine. Whatever's easier. Are there any no's? Okay. Motion passes. Let's move on to the action items. So the first one is going to be approval of the June 17th TCC meeting minutes. Hopefully everybody's had a chance to review those meeting minutes and submit any comments or concerns. Does anyone have any questions or comments that they want to make about that at this time? Okay, hearing none. At this time, I will request a motion to approve the meeting minutes from June 17th.
Motion to approve.
And a second.
This is Mark. I'll second. And if we could ask people to please state your name when making a motion for the minutes.
All in favor, please either state or put in the chat. And I vote.
Aye.
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 Are there any no's? Okay. Hearing none, that motion passes and the meeting minutes are approved. Let's move on to review and discussion of proposed plans and studies for discretionary PL funding. That would be planning study funding. Mark, please.
Thank you, Pam. I'm going to move through this fairly quickly just to introduce the process, and then I'm going to let the project sponsors staff speak to each application. Okay, the discretionary PL funds that we're applying for work in this way. Georgia PL Funds Review Committee awards funding twice each year in late September and late March. The funds in question are unused MPO planning funds from prior years and can only be used for planning. Funding is split 80% federal and 20% local. Projects must support the core MPO MTP. Studies must be reflected in the core MPO UPWP. Must be reviewed at least two rounds of core MPO meetings prior to application and include a resolution of support from the core MPO board. The studies must undergo a competitive procurement process if the funding is awarded, and they must be administered by the MPO staff. Now we have four studies that are proposed for funding. They are the Islands Expressway Corridor Study, sponsored Chatham County, the MPO Freight Transportation Study, sponsored by MPC, the Urban Flooding Dynamic Modeling Tools for Optimized City Planning of Transportation and Infrastructure, also sponsored by MPC, and the US 80 Corridor Study with Chatham County. And with that, I'm going to go to the individual applications, and I'm going to let the project sponsors speak to their proposals. The first is the Islands Expressway study, and the sponsor is Chatham County. The requested funding amount is $100,000, of which would be $80,000 federal, $20,000 local. Pam, are you speaking to this one? And I just wanted to note on some of these, I had to assume a schedule. So if you're a project sponsor, please take a look at the schedule on your application in case it's one that I filled in myself and make sure it looks reasonable. I tried to allow plenty of time, but yet not be unreasonable. Pam?
Mark, I also just want to clarify that as far as an action item goes, that we're reviewing and discussing each one of these, but it's my understanding that all of these can be submitted, but that we do need to prioritize them. Is that correct?
You do not necessarily need to prioritize them. You could prioritize them if If you so desire, that would really be up to the board to have the final say on priorities. The action that we're going to be looking for all these today is a recommendation from the TCC to the Core MPO board, which will meet next week. Mm-hmm. And the ones that are blessed at the Core MPO board meeting will then be submitted.
Okay, but assuming that there's only so much PL funding out there for grabs, it might be helpful to have a priority list. It was my understanding, just based off of our discussion from last time, that we were.
Yeah, we don't have, unfortunately, we haven't got the estimate. I mean, well, not estimate. They will give us what the accumulated funding balance is, but we don't have that yet. We have never exhausted the fund, but you're probably right. If it were to get in a situation where there were a lot of projects being applied for, then it could come down to priorities.
Okay.
Just haven't seen it.
This is Leon. Is that something that can be done post-mortem? In other words, you know, if we get to the point where they say, well, okay, we've got limited funding, y'all need to decide which ones you have. Because once you prioritize things, then if you send them up, they're going to look, well, number four is something they really weren't interested in, so let's just not worry about that one. Right? So if you're sending them all up there as similar in priority, it would seem like they would have more weight. And then if they don't have funding, we can back up from that point.
This is Melanie. Leon, I agree with you. I think that probably would be a good move based on what I've heard in my experiences, but it's up to the rest of the right now, without knowing how much money we've got, we probably could do it after the fact if it's necessary. They just haven't exhausted funds from what I've seen ever.
Right. Staff is not making a recommendation that you prioritize them. It's something that the committee and the board could do if they choose.
All right. Then the only other question I have is, and I think you've somewhat answered this before, but I just want to be sure, are you comfortable that your staff is going to be able to handle all these if we get all four?
I think so, yes.
Okay. Thank you. So just to start with the Islands Expressway Corridor Study, this one just came about because it's somewhat of an access. There's so much growth in the area, and Islands Expressway. Somebody mute?
Somebody's eating.
Thank you. Okay, start over again. So this project is just kind of to do two things, to look at access control, you know, as far as some of the intersections and see where maybe we need some turn lanes or some safety or operational improvements. And then the other half of that is that we've had several requests. It would be very nice to have a bike lane or a walking trail, something like that along the road to allow residents from the islands to come into downtown without a vehicle if they wanted to, and back and forth, obviously. So if we could do a study to look at that and see what the possibility of putting in some kind of pedestrian or bike access, that would be great. So that's what we're looking for, so that we can do some improvements down the road. I guess that's about it. The dates that you have, if you put those in, those look fine to me. Is there anything else? Anybody have any questions about it?
Did you want to vote on all of them separately or wait till we've had all of them presented?
Let's go ahead and do them separately.
Okay. Do you want to take a vote on this one then?
Then if there's no questions about that, can we, at this time, I will request a motion to endorse this to the board for, submission for the PL funds.
This is Kayla. I'll make a motion to endorse this for submission.
This is Mark. I'll second that.
All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Are there any no's? Okay, wonderful. That one's in. All right, let's move on to the next one is the freight transportation study. Are you going to talk about that one, Mark?
I'm actually going to let Wicota speak to that because she will be the project manager.
The Core MPO's regional freight transportation plan, the last one was completed in 2015, at the end of 2015, beginning of 2016. So 5 years have passed. So we are going to update our regional freight plan so that it can, the recommendations from the plan will be fit into the 2050 long range transportation plan. Since 2016, there are a lot of developments in the area, including infrastructure improvements such as I-16 widening, I-16, I-95 interchange reconstruction, and then a lot of warehousing distribution centers that have been built or are under construction. So this update will include Chatham County, Bryan County, and Effingham County, and we're coordinating with Hinesville MPO, and then the LETS in South Carolina, so that we can have a regional plan. The scope, so we will have a project management coordination, a freight needs assessment that includes the freight network and asset inventory, and then we will have the existing goods movement assessment converted into truckloads and the freight cars, and then also the projection of future freight and goods movement also convert into trucks and rail cars in 2050. The projection year would be 2050. And then we will have develop some performance measures and then evaluate how we use the performance measures to assess the short-term, mid-term, and long-term effects of the project. And then we will have the forecasting of future freight growth, and then develop the regional freight profiles and assessment, identify the freight network bottlenecks and safety and security issues, coordinating with the development of the congestion management process. And we are also going to have a truck parking inventory to see where the parks, truck parking spaces are needed, and then what kind of investments that are needed. And then the staff already doing some truck restrictions, so we will evaluate the impacts of the truck restrictions on the truck movement in this area. And then we will also evaluate freight impacts from emergencies and conduct a freight resiliency analysis. That means the COVID-19, sea level rise, hurricanes, and all that. So it will have resiliency components in it. And then a wrap up from the freight needs assessment, we will have a freight needs assessment summary. And the separate component would be the land use assessment. So we will find out, or at least do inventory of where the warehouses, distribution centers are located, and what are the new or planned places where they are going to be located, and coordinated with the comprehensive plans and the other land use plans. We will also update the economic development market assessment for freight. So we evaluate the port, highway, freight, how that contributes to the market, to the economy in this area. And then we will also conduct the environmental community impact scan for freight. So especially identify those communities where they probably the EG communities where the freight has a lot of impact or adverse environmental impacts. So that will be a part of this analysis. So based on the previous analysis, we will have recommendations. The recommendation will be in two parts. The first part will be the recommendations for future land use related to freight and goods movement. And the second part would be for infrastructure improvements. So that will include short-term, mid-term, and long-term infrastructure improvement recommendations. The last part would be the summary of all this. That will be the final report and documentation. So based on this draft scope, we think about $300,000 will be required for the study. So we will request $240,000 from the PL Funds Review Committee, and the MPC will come up with the $60,000 local match from membership dues. So this is the, because we started discussion in April, so this would be our third round of discussion on this freight study. ADFAC has been heavily involved in this and actually had more discussions on this. But as I said, this scope is still not final, but it should be good enough for us to do the funding application. But we will continue to revise the scope. So if you see anything, actually the scope is included in the attachment. So if you see anything, if you want to make any more recommendations, more comments, please forward that to me so that I will incorporate them.
One of the things I just wanted to mention for the benefit of those present, one of the things that we discussed briefly at the EDFAC meeting this morning is that we may be able to coordinate the development of the freight plan with our congestion management process, because some of the data may serve both plans. So we may be able to get some co-benefits for our congestion management process update, which will be going on in the near future. So we're going to explore ways to incorporate that into the scope, if possible.
Okay, any questions on the regional freight plan update?
Okay, if not, thank you, Rico. At this time, I will request a motion then to endorse the freight transportation study for PL application.
This is Leon, so moved.
I'll second that. All in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Are there any no's? Okay. That one passes. Let's move on to the urban flooding model. And who is Melanie going to speak to that one?
I believe Alicia is going to present that, but Melanie's here as well. Here we go.
Yes, I have a little flyer that we can either look at the application or can share. Yeah, okay, they're both on here. So this is just a flyer putting together kind of a brief overview of what this project is. So to let you know, like an urban flood model, it represents features of urban ecosystems and the mechanisms of flooding that impact those. And models will play a role in the risk assessment, response, and resilience planning. And so our need for it is based on the fact that there is growing concerns for coastal communities because of the extreme weather events and the increase in frequency of those events. And so for the core MPO planning area, these weather events are major threats for our transportation and infrastructure. So to address these threats, this study is going to develop a decision planning tool. And the purpose of the tool is to allow users to plan and project costs for urban resiliency and transportation systems and infrastructure. And within the core MPO planning area, agencies can use this tool during their development review processes. So it would help them identify like strategies and the costs that are required for mitigating surface runoff from new infrastructure and proposed developments. And so for this project, the total cost is $150,000 with $120,000 being federal and $30,000 being the local match. So that's kind of a quick brief overview for you.
And this is Melanie. I will say, just to piggyback on this, I wanted to make sure that we had a brochure to show you that this is different than the sea level rise model, because I know there was some confusion about that, and I can understand how that would occur. But this really is dealing with the land use components, even with our freight planning and other planning that we are charged to do. We really do need to have something that helps us with cost of other surrounding factors that contribute to our infrastructure and other transportation networks. This is also along the lines of what was encouraged as us to start looking at this more seriously when we had our review by the feds. So
okay, thank you. Are there any questions from anyone about that study? Okay, at this time I will request a motion to endorse the urban flooding dynamic modeling for PL application.
So moved. This is Mark.
Second, Ron Feldner.
Thank you, Ron. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Are there any noes? Motion passes. All right, and who do we have on here that's going to speak to the US 80 Leon. Corridor study?
Leon. Since Chatham County is a sponsor, I think you should do that, Pamela.
What?
That's what Mark Slide said. No, I'll do it. I think this is pretty self-explanatory. I mean, it's the same type of corridor studies we've done on other routes throughout the county. Pooler has experienced a ton of growth over the last couple of decades. The newest census that comes out shows that they've had a tremendous increase in population, somewhere around a third, if I'm not mistaken. USAID serves as a basic arterial through most of the municipality, and they really need to look at what their safety improvements need to be, what their access points are going to be, how they deal with future growth and future development, especially along a lot of the collectors that they have that interface with US 80. They also believe it's very prudent to look at this as a complete streets model. They have several different amenities along the corridor outside of warehouses. Residential is tied to certain parks, especially like Tom Triplett down on US 80 that the county maintains. So Mark, I have to thank Mark because he did my math right on my money. I couldn't do that as an old engineer, I assume. So the match would be basically for the city to be participant in helping the selected consultant to do most of the land use and planning aspects of the study. So that's in a nutshell. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer.
The only question I have is I'm looking at the project start date here. This is April of 2022. Will Pooler have their, or do they anticipate that they will have their LAP certification by then?
Well, the studies are not required for, they don't have to have LAP certification for the studies. The studies can be initiated by, or and sponsored, NPC has sponsored, or NPO has sponsored many studies for the community over the years.
Who's providing the local match?
That will be the city of Pooler.
Okay, well, how come State Route 21 study got kicked before, did it?
What do you mean?
Oh, that was a project. Oh, okay, that wasn't the study. Okay.
Studies, we do, for studies, it is required that the consultants be GDOT pre-qualified. But we've not required LAP certification.
Okay, sorry, my bad. I got confused. Okay, so we're good on that. Is there any other questions about the US 80 corridor study?
I hate to ask a question about the one thing I'm participating in, but I would like to expand on this part, Mark. If I know that we set up the funding to make sure that we're covered, because we can't go back and ask if they do approve the funds for the project, but if another jurisdiction, if Bloomingdale decides later on that they want to include their portion of 80 in the study, or Garden City per se, are they allowed to join into the study and that just be, you know, straight up their cost and participate in the study as a whole.
Oh, you mean
that makes sense?
Would that be like a supplemental contract with the same consultant?
That's what I'm thinking, but I haven't vetted this with anybody. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate. If they want to do that, there's an economies of scale, obviously, because you've got a consultant coming in and doing a majority of the corridor. But if they wanted to tag on the ends, as I know Wacota had voiced it some time ago, that, you know, looking at it from a holistic standpoint, is that still something that could be done? And in addition to what we're doing with this study with Pooler.
Well, I think if they're spending local money, if they're spending their own money, they could certainly hire the consultant to do additional work. If we needed more federal funds, it would be a little bit time consuming to try to.
No, that's not what I'm asking. We could just increase the local match and expand the study if we wanted to, correct?
Oh, through the same.
Would you be increasing?
Is there any way or any reason? Hi, this is Melanie. Just a quick question, Leon. Is there any reason that Bloomingdale or in the other jurisdictions have not been party to this application? Because to me, it makes it one a stronger application because you've got multiple jurisdictions that benefit from it. It does get to be tricky when you add on to something that goes out. Just with overall cost. So have you talked to them about
that? Well, Ron is on the line. He could speak to whether he's been approached by the city of Pooler regarding this. I don't think that Bloomingdale has been approached by it about it. And there are various reasons why that hasn't occurred. But I'm just asking from a standpoint, is it going to be a roadblock later? Right now, the city of Pooler wants to see this study be done, you know, particularly from Pooler Parkway all the way to 307 for their planning and being proactive as opposed to reactive in the way that they've been over the last 20 years. So I'm just asking a very generic question. I'm not trying to push it one way or the other. I just want to know so that later on, if the funds are allowed or awarded, is that a possibility? Does it mess up the works? But I do not want to change the application. The city of Pooler wants to keep it like this unless, like I said, Ron and Robbie or the Garden City of Pooler want to get together and discuss it further.
I'm just going to chime in and then hopefully someone at GDOT can expand on or add to what I'm saying. But I don't think that the process for this funding, I don't think the way it's set up, it really lends itself to something like that. Just because of the intentional way that it was set up for multiple meetings and multiple discussions, I think it's expected that we have those issues worked out in advance, and it would take probably a very long time to alter the contract. If someone at GDOT wants to weigh in on that, I think it might be helpful.
I would agree with Mark. I'm not in the PL Funds community, but I think Mark is he's pretty right about that. So it'd be harder to kind of go in and change stuff like that. So
I think the answer would be why didn't this come out, you know, during your two or three, minimum two meeting cycle discussion? And,
you know, I understand that, and I have talked about that around the tree a little bit with Pooler and some other individuals. I can't get that done now, so that's why I'm saying the Pooler, this can go as it is. There's no Pooler wants to see this application made. I'm merely asking, politics and mentalities change, Mark, and I'm just asking from the standpoint, does it, if I can pursue it later and they want to add on to the study and make it a greater study, then I want to try to pursue it. I want to keep the conversation going. If it's something that monkeys up the whole process, then I don't want to get involved with it. I don't want to mess up what Pooler has asked me to do for them. So I was just asking a hypothetical question. Is it a possibility? If it is, then can you do it? If not, then it's fine. We move on.
My take would be probably not, but you know, if anyone at the state level wants to, you can figure that out, that's great. But from where we're sitting, I don't think we could do it.
Okay, I think that question got answered. So if there are there any other questions regarding the US 80 corridor study?
Hey, this is Ron. I'll just say that as long as the intersection
at Dean Forest Road is incorporated into the study. You know, once you get east of that location, Garden City really doesn't have a whole lot of issues with 80 between Dean Forest Road and down there at Burnside, because obviously, you know, we don't have a lot of traffic signals down through there. So our participation in this study probably doesn't make sense, because our road conditions in terms of signals and turning movements is much different east of Dean Forest than it is west. I just wanted to throw that in terms of the project's viability as it stands right now.
Okay, thank you, Ron. Any other questions or comments? All right, well, let's take this to a vote then. At this time, I will request a motion to endorse the US 80 corridor study for application for PL funds.
So moved, Melanie.
Do we have a second?
Second, Ron Feldner.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Are there any noes? Motion passes. And that wraps up the applications for the discretionary PL funding. Let's moving on. The next item on the action items is amendments to the FY 2022 UPWP. Is that going to be you, Mark? Thank you.
Yes, that's me. These amendments are essentially to tidy up the work program based on the planning studies that were just endorsed. Basically to revise the budget for the freight transportation study to reflect the $300,000 total that we discussed this morning. To add the US 80 corridor study, which was the one that we spoke with Leon about just now, to add that as an illustrative study, because it was not previously in the work program. It came to us beginning last June. So this would put that into the work program as an illustrative study. Revise the name of what we initially had put in, described as a sea level rise study, to basically update the description and title of that to reflect that it's an urban flooding model study. And for some reason, I'm not seeing that page, but that's what the action would be. Basically, amending the Unified Planning Work Program to include the project that was not previously included, and to revise the two that one had, the freight plan had a budget change, and then the we had the task again described as a sea level rise study, but to be more specific and more detailed, we're updating the description to make it clear what the urban flood model is.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
There may be a mistake on the attachment. I don't see the revised page for, oh, there it is. There it is, the urban flooding model. That's the revised page. It's kind of hard to see when you flip through so fast. But that's what it is, just to bring the UPWP up to date with the action that you just took.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you, Mark. Does anyone have any questions or comments about that? Okay, hearing none. At this time, I'll request a motion to endorse the amendments to the FY 2022 UPWP to the board.
So moved. This is Mark.
I'll second that. That's Pamela. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Are there any noes? All right, motion passes. Moving on to the next item is the call for projects for Z230 and CRISA? Is that how we're saying that?
Yes, okay. We are.
All right.
It's like the next extension of the CARES Act, I think.
And is Wycota, you're going to present that for us? Thank you.
Yes, I will do the presentation on this. The reason we're doing this is because we have the balance for 030 and then we have the new funding for the CRISA. Let's just start with the Z230 because we have been doing the Z230 several times. So I'm not going to open the form because the form stays about the same. So I would just add, start with the menus. I did add in some language in this. So we have seen this application, the call for project menu several times before. Currently, I just highlighted, we presented this in June, but I made some changes after that. So the thing is, the first thing that you notice that I highlighted the funding. In 2021, we still have a balance of $900,000. And the 2023, $3 million, and 2024, $6 million. These are included in the current TIP. And the thing is, I think we got the news from the city of Savannah that De Lesseps Avenue right-of-way acquisition actually didn't spend as much as we expected. So that funds, the city wanted to know whether that funds can be moved to the construction phase. And we did coordinate with GDOT, and GDOT answers is no. So that means that part of the funding will be coming back to the pot. So right now, we don't know how much of the $900,000 will be allocated to 2023 and 2024. And we also don't know how much of the return funds from De Lesseps will be added to 2023 and 2024. So we can just use whatever we have over here. During the application, actually, I think whoever, which municipality submits the application, just don't use this funding as the, I mean, you can use this as the basis, but based on your own estimate. Because when we do the funding allocation eventually, before we do the TIP amendments, probably GDOT will come up with the exact revenues for those 2 years. So that is something that I highlighted over here so that we can talk about it. And then another thing, nothing really changed. We did talk about the lab certification, because I think at the last meeting, Leon was saying, now you cannot punish anybody who is not lab certified, because I mean, you might get, we already started the process, you might get lab certified in 2022, and then your funding will be in 2023. So that's why we added it in this language over here. Because TCC actually agreed with him. So what I added is, in addition, the local project sponsor must be lab certified by GDOT to administer the federal funds. If the local sponsor is in the process of becoming lab certified while submitting the application, then PO will consider the sponsor an eligible entity as long as the lab certification becomes official before the requested funding phase starts. So if you become lab certified in 2022, and your funding is in 2023, that's fine. But if you are lab certified in 2022 and your funding starts in 2022, so before the funding starts, you are not lab certified, you wouldn't be considered eligible. So that's why I added that clarification over here. Also added in the language, the requirements only applies to transportation improvement projects, not planning studies. So because the Z230 money can be used for studies as well. So if you're applying for the funds for planning studies, you don't have to be lab certified. But if you are applying funds for the projects, you must be lab certified. And then also, you cannot just tell me that we're in the process, because we need documentation. We need written documentation. So that is certain. So this include, I added that language in this Z230. Another language that I added in, was the, because we said, okay, we actually, during the last call for project, we already include this language in the menu that you really need to provide monthly update to the TCC. So if you don't provide monthly update, I did add in the language, as you will risk not being considered for the next round of call for projects. I know we got some objection at the last TCC meeting, but we actually had a briefing with the MPO chairman, and he actually stand firmly behind us. He said, okay, you need to include that language in. Because if you are I mean, it's just like if you're requesting some money from the county, so the county will expect you to provide update on a monthly basis or bi-monthly basis. So this is the same thing. We're managing the federal dollars. So if you don't provide your project update, we don't know where you are. So we really want to keep track of it. So that's why I still have this language in here. So these would be the language that I just want to grab your attention. But the rest of the documents is probably stays pretty much the same. So this is the schedule. If the MPO board approves this package, and we will start the call for projects on August 26th, that's that next Thursday. And the deadline for submittal would be the end of September. And then in October, we will just process the project, the ranking, pre-screening, and then the recommendations. And then in November, we probably will start the public involvement process because the December meetings are pretty early. So in the beginning of December, we will amend the TIP to incorporate the projects. So this would be the Z230. For the CRESA, money is also pretty similar to Z230. So all the projects and types are eligible, about the same. The only difference is the CRESA, you don't need the local match. So the total funding is about $2.1 million. So we don't need the local match for this. For the Z230, we actually indicate all the projects, the minimum request is like $200,000. Because if it's below $200,000, it's really not worth the effort. But if it's a planning study, we want the minimum to be at least $100,000. So if you're requesting the CRESA money for study, so your cost for the study must be at least $100,000, because otherwise it would be really not worth it. Because I did talk with Leon about the Tumalini Park Trail Phase 2B. We need right of way for one parcel. So I said, okay, are you going to apply for this CRESA money? He actually indicated probably no, because it's not worth it. Yeah, because if a project is less than $200,000, it's not worth it. If it's a study is less than $100,000, it's really not worth it. So just think well before you apply for the funds. So for this CRESA money, we actually have two different ranking criteria. One is for the study, and the study would be, the schedule would be the same. The study ranking criteria are the same as the for the Z230. That's for project. For the project ranking criteria, and they are the same. The ranking, the weight, and everything is the same with the Z230. We just developed a separate ranking criteria for planning studies. So, but if you have like one study and one project, how do you weigh those? So what we did is just based on this. So the total score would be the same. So if planning studies total score is 100, project study score is 100 as well. So but you rank them separately. If it's a planning study, you use this planning study selection criteria. And if it's a project, you use the project selection criteria. So by the end, if that one is 80 versus 80, so they will carry about the same weight. So that's the way to go. Another thing is I didn't add in the language about the lab certification, because planning studies doesn't need the lab certification, but projects, and also I didn't add in the language that's saying that, okay, if you're in the process of getting lab certified or something, I didn't add that because for the CRESA funds, I want all of the project sponsors to be lab certified already, because these funds must be obligated by September 2024. So these are more urgent. These are more urgent. We really need to spend the money as soon as possible. So if you have a project that is ready, so apply for these funds, because you can get about 100%. You don't need the local match, but the requirement is that you have to be lab certified. And also, we still about the progress reporting. So because this is more urgent funding, so we want you to provide updates, just like the Z230, so bi-monthly updates about the progress process. So that's about it. So we just ask the TCC to endorse the application package to the Core MPO board. And if the MPO board approves them, and we will start the call for project process. Any questions?
Unfortunately, yes, I have a couple of questions. This is Leon. I'll start with the CRESA funds. So if we're going to, if they are study eligible, would it not be beneficial since the PL funds, I don't think those will be determined until March, is that December when they meet?
Yeah.
Late September, we typically meet the last Monday of the month.
No, I mean, when will the department tell us whether what projects are being funded, or what the monetary funding will be for the local projects?
For the PL funds?
Yes.
The meeting in late September, normally it's the last Monday of the month.
Okay.
We meet and decide. Yeah, we'll know by then.
Okay, so the reason I'm asking is that for those four studies, I mean, at least for some fills, if we don't have enough projects, and I would assume that everybody should just submit their PL fund request into this, to the CRESA money in the same format, correct?
The CRESA, you just need to follow the form, actually. So it's a little bit different from the PL, but I would suggest, like, for if you want to like apply for the CRESA funds for the Pooler US 80 study, you just need to add in some information in this form. So just get it ready, because by the end of September, you will know whether you get the PL funds. So if you don't get it, you can just submit this one.
Okay.
Because I mean, that information is already there. You just need to like plug in this form.
I'm good at cut and paste, so that's not a problem.
Yeah.
Going back to the Z230 funds with regards to the LAP certification. Mm-hmm. I believe that, and I know GDOT's on the call, I believe that in the last time that we went through this process, Garden City, taking for example Garden City, they were denied funds with regards to utility construction because they were not LAP certified at the time. But program delivery said that you did not have to be LAP certified in order to get PE funds. So
that's not right.
The wording in your
certified for planning studies, but I think
no,
PE is a part of
planning
development.
No, what they said last time, and I'm asking this to the DOT folks on the call. Program delivery said that if you were only applying and getting PE funds that were from the Z230 pot, then you did not have to be LAP certified for those funds. Ron, am I incorrect on that? Isn't that the exercise we went through? Because we held those PE funds for a while, and then finally we said, well, we're not going to utilize those funds for PE.
I'm not sure about that.
We did release them, yeah.
Yes, because they were programmed with the Garden City not being LAP certified, because they were only PE funds, and because they weren't LAP certified, they could not have any construction funds, right away utility or construction funds. They couldn't have anything past PE.
Yeah, the LAP became to our attention because at that time, I think Garden City for the Stereo 21 Signal project, you're actually requesting Z230 funds for PE utility and construction. So it's a year in the same year.
If a local jurisdiction that's part of the MPO requests only PE funds that are 230, then they can get those funds even though they're not LAP certified. But the way that you've worded the language here in your document basically says that, you know, if you're not LAP certified, you can't have the funds. I mean, I think there's an exemption for the PE part of it. Is the only thing I'm saying.
The phone that can confirm that.
Yeah, we need to get out.
Yeah, I can't confirm. I'll check on that. I haven't heard that, but I'll check with OFM. And you said that was OFM, right? That said that.
Program delivery. Albert program Shelby delivery. And his group said that was the only pot, only process that you could apply and have 230 funds if you were not LAP certified.
I confirm that, because I wasn't aware of that either. So
yeah, even if it's allowed, I don't know that I would recommend it, just because federal funding does require a lot of very specific steps. And if you don't follow the proper procedure, then you're at risk of those funds having to be reimbursed.
Yeah.
If you're not LAPR certified,
but those classes and the
training and don't have that experience, and you know it would be difficult to follow the process.
But those requirements extend to the right of way application process and what you have to go through with that. I mean, there's a lot behind the PE process that are more federally required than just the design and procurement of that part. I mean, I'm just telling you what program delivery said last time. So if it's allowable, then I just want to know that so that everybody that's part of this process knows. And so we're not just discarding those applications.
As the now, MPO, I think we can follow the GDOT rules, but we can also be more restrictive. So it's up to the MPO board.
We'll find out from GDOT and go from there.
Yeah.
What the rules are.
Yeah. So Ned, would you please just do some research and let us know?
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Let's move on. Let's see. I have some questions actually.
Yeah.
For the first question is for the ranking, then are the projects and the studies, they're going to be ranked like together, like against each other? Is that correct?
For the CRESA, we actually have two different ranking systems, one for project, another one is for planning studies.
Okay.
For the Z230, I don't think Z230 we separate, because we try to like gear the Z230 towards projects than studies.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but for the CRESA, like I said, the total score would be the same.
There's two different pots of money.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah. So for Z230, we want to gear them towards the projects. For the CRESA, if you want to do apply for a planning study for funds for planning study, it makes more sense to apply for the CRESA because you don't have to provide a local match, right?
Okay. You're right.
Yeah. So and also the planning studies tend to be cheaper than the projects. So Z230 have more money. But CRESA is like we only have like $2 million.
I was trying to figure out if those are separate or if they're going to be.
They're separate. They're ranked separately. So if we have five applications for Z230, we expect them to be projects. So you just evaluate those. But for the CRESA, if we have five applications, maybe two are for planning studies and three are for projects. So you rank the three projects based on the project ranking criteria and the two studies based on the two planning criteria. And then we compare the total score at the end.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you. My other question is related to existing projects that were identified in like last year's call for projects. Let's just say that we need more money for those projects. Do we need to resubmit, or how exactly does that work?
I haven't thought about it, but if they're from different phases, I certainly think that they can. They're eligible.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure if we needed to like reapply, or whether like if it was ranked number one last year, how would that then work with the ranking for the new projects?
Actually, last year's all of the applications have been awarded funding last year. So you really don't have to worry about those because we allocated the fiscal year 2021 and the 2022 funds. 2023 and 2024, we actually don't have much allocated because nobody was applying for funds in those 2 years.
Yeah, well,
so that means we don't have new projects for those 2 years.
So, but so if we need money for a project that's already funded for certain phases or certain years.
Yeah, I would think submit a new application.
New application. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Thank you. Are there any other questions?
No, if I can, Pam, I just wanted to let everybody at the meeting know that the person from CAT has signed down. Her name is Shalonda Roundtree. So the CAT representative is here.
Oh,
and she could introduce herself if she would like.
But we need a motion.
Yeah, what are we looking for here? Just a motion to endorse the call for projects, manuals, forms, and schedule.
Yeah, and the manuals, yeah, the whole package.
The package.
Yeah.
So moved.
Subject to the procedural question that was posed and not yet answered.
Okay.
I will submit
so
a motion.
So moved. With the, well, I don't know if you can hear me, but I was just going to say so moved. So, yes. Amendment of finding out additional information from GDOT with the procedural question.
All right. Well, then in that case, I will second that. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We got anybody aye. Else on?
Aye.
Thank you.
Are there any no's? All right. Motion passes. The last action item that we have on the agenda is the amendments to the 21-24 TIP.
Okay, that'll be me. This is Alicia.
Thank you, Alicia.
Okay, I think I've got the right screen showing. Can you all see it?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay, so just kind of as a reminder, the MPO's current short-range planning document is the TIP, and currently it covers fiscal year 2021 through 2024. And the document lists all the surface transportation projects for the area that use federal, state, and local funding. And so as projects change, the TIP gets updated. So recently, the FTA released the actual apportionment amounts for Section 5307. And this release required CAT to make some project adjustments to this program. And those adjustments include the addition and removal of projects along with updating those funding amounts. And this right here just shows the estimate and then what actually was apportioned by FTA. And this table shows the breakdown of what was changed, which projects were added, which were moved, and then the funding amounts associated with it. And this TIP amendment is pretty simple. It just includes CATS 5307. And that's all that's on here. So we would just be looking for an endorsement on these proposed TIP amendment changes. Well, if there's any questions.
I have a question. This is David Thompson from GDOT Intermodal. I was going back over the TIP that was adopted. Now, it has on here the PTAS, the Public Transit Agency Safety Plan, and that it would adopt the transit safety targets in 2021, and doesn't say more than that. Does it have in there like any of those transit safety targets that will be put into the TIP?
Let I'm sorry. Okay, so what's your question?
Alicia, I think we did the PTAPs, the transit safety targets. We amended that back in December. Back in December, or
I think we did that.
February.
Because we got the plan, we got the PTAPs plan from CAD in December, and we probably amended our TIP because we adopted our TIP in December as well. So we actually have a system performance report updated, so include the transit safety targets. So that's part of the TIP amendments. I think it's maybe in February or April. We have already done that.
So does the TIP already have like the actual transit safety targets in there for PTASP, I guess is what I'm saying?
Yes, we do. Because we amended it that in the TIP.
Okay. I'll reach out to one of you just to make sure I can see where it's at.
Yeah, we can forward you the link because it's already posted on our website on the tip page. So you right. should have the updated system performance report that includes the transit safety targets.
Wicoda, is it in the same document or is it a separate document?
It's a separate document because it's an amendment document.
That might be the confusion.
Yeah, because when we adopt the TIP in December, we haven't got the PTAPs, the transit safety targets yet. So we got that later after we adopted the TIP. So that's why it's the adoption of that and then the update to the performance report is an amendment to the TIP, both the TIP and the MTP.
And I just dropped a link to the standalone system performance report document. Where you can see the transit safety targets.
Yeah, Alicia, can you just provide that link, send the link, email that link to Tom?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, are there any other questions?
David, that's fine.
All right, at this time, I would like to request a motion to endorse the amendments to the FY21-24 TIP.
It's Leon, so moved.
Thank you, Leon. In a second.
Second, Ron Feldner.
Thank you, Ron. All in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Are there any noes? Motion passes. All right, moving on to other business. Is there anyone from the public that's here that wants to make a comment? I guess that's actually later on. I'm not sure what other business includes. I guess the next item is congestion management process update. Mark.
Yes, thank you, Pam. Just wanted to give everyone a quick update about our reboot of the congestion management process update. We had initially started the process early last summer back in 2020, but shortly after we started that process, our project manager departed MPC, so we have had some delay, but we're here today to reboot the process. You may recall that our last congestion management process update was in 2017. It informed the development of the 2045 MTP, or Metropolitan Transportation Plan, and we plan on updating the CMP on approximately a five-year cycle so that this CMP update can inform the next Metropolitan Transportation Plan. Oh, there we go.
Just a brief overview of the congestion management process. We develop regional objectives. We define the CMP network, develop multimodal performance measures. We collect data and monitor system performance, analyze congestion problems and needs, identify and assess strategies, program and implement strategies, and evaluate their effectiveness. We had, in June of 2020, taken volunteers for a working group. The volunteers that we had at that time, and I see Pam has briefly left the room, but we had Pam Bernard, Anne-Marie Day, Bren Dice, Vivian, or as she put it, someone from GDOT. I think she may have nominated Ned. And Bren Dice, who is no longer at CAT. So I'd like to go ahead and get, I guess, an updated group of volunteers together. We probably are going to meet a few times. We'll try to coordinate our meetings with the TCC, but there may be a small handful of other meetings that we need to hold just a smaller, faster moving group of subject matter experts, such as we have at the meeting today, to define the network, the performance metrics, and make some decisions about that to report back to the TCC as we develop this. And very good. Pam is on her way back in. Shalanda, are you still on the call?
Go ahead.
Oh, Pam, just to let you know, we're trying to reassemble the working group of subject matter experts for the congestion management system update. We had taken volunteers last June, but then the project ground to a halt when we lost our project manager. So we're here rebooting it today. You were one of the volunteers last year. Can we count on you again this time?
Absolutely.
Since we were so respectful of your time over the past year and didn't take up too much of it. I'd really like to have someone from CAT. Do we still have anyone from CAT still on the meeting? Okay. We may have to reach out to them separately. What about GDOT? Ned, would you be a participant, or is there anyone else there? I know Vivian sort of volunteered you last time.
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it.
Okay, so we'll put your name down. We'll reach out to Kat. That was Ned. Anyone else? Anyone else willing to volunteer? Okay. Well, we'll also send out an email blast. Give people, there'll be one more chance at least. And this is our proposed schedule. As you can see, we're in the early data assessment phase and forming the working group that's here in August near the left side of the chart. We have a fairly lengthy section of time for data collection, and that's based on the uncertainty of what the group might decide. Last time we went primarily with NPMRDS data, which at that time was fairly had a few gaps in it. I've been looking at the data, and I think that there's better availability now. So that's something we can discuss as a group. You know, do we want to continue to go with that free data that has improved? But if there's a decision we need to acquire more data, then the schedule gives us a cushion, such as applying for additional PL funds if the group decides that that's what's desired. So this aims to have the congestion management process updated by about the spring of 2023, and that would be about a little over a year before the MTP update is due. So that would be a pretty good schedule for that process then to inform the MTP update.
And that's all I really have for today. Just letting everybody know the process is starting back up. We're starting to look at the data and starting to reassemble our working group.
Great. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate that. Then the next item I think is also yours is the UPWP development schedule. Now, that's for 2023. Is that right?
That's correct. believe it or not, we are in the second month of fiscal year 2022, but it actually is already time to start thinking about developing the fiscal year 2023 Unified Planning Work Program. We had a working conference call with our GDOT and federal planning partners last month, and one of the things they shared with us was a proposed schedule for UPWP development. The main aspect of that was that they would like to see us adopt our final UPWP by February, which we sometimes have done, and sometimes we've done it in April. But and we concur in that. So the main I guess the main milestones here that would concern the TCC would be that you would be reviewing a draft document at your December meeting, and then a final proposed final document at your February meeting. But look, in reviewing the calendars, we realized that we need to get started pretty soon with the call for plans and studies, which the outcomes of which of a previous call or calls we've just finished discussing for our PL funding applications. But this shows, I guess, the schedule kind of from my perspective, thinking about, you know, when we need to have certain drafts ready, certain processes. So we intend to issue a call for plans and studies in September, throughout the month of September. And then develop the draft work program mostly during October. It could spill over into early November. But if you look at the cutoff dates and the times that we have to get things out for our meeting, the December meeting, my deadline is before Thanksgiving. So, you know, it's time. So, you know, there doesn't have to be a definite schedule. Someone asked at our FAC meeting this morning about schedule. These aren't necessarily for ideally, these are for studies that would be considered for funding a year from now or later. Although it, technically, if we start talking about a study this December, we could apply for it in March by amending it into the current work program. But we really view this in a perfect world, this would be the studies that are proposed for a year from now or later, whenever the project sponsor is, you know, ready to move on that, and also ensure that it fits into our planning schedule. So just basically wanted to give people a heads up. We will send that out probably in an email blast. So, you know, give some thought to any studies that you see coming up down the road. We'll try to help you with those.
Thank you, Mark. Okay.
I'm staying up here.
thank you, Mark. Let's see, status reports, I guess, are next. That's still you, isn't it, Mark?
It is.
State Route 21, access management study.
Okay, just a quick update. As of the end of July, we were about 46% complete on that study in terms of what we were billed for, but just run you through some of the milestones we've met. I have people talk. Sorry, folks. I have people. Sally wants to see my attachment. There it is. Don't say a word. Okay, so we held our kickoff on March 19th. The first project advisory group was held May 13th, 2021. We have a project webpage that you're welcome to visit. It shares information about the study. Also has a wiki map where people have been giving us feedback on problem areas and just various aspects about the corridor they want us to be aware of. We did an online survey. That phase one survey is now closed. The first public meeting was held May 25th. The recording of the meeting is also available on the website. We held a day-long road safety audit, June 9th. The draft existing conditions and needs assessment has been submitted. We've reviewed it and sent comments back to the consultant. The needs assessment matrix is currently under development. We have the next public meeting we're trying to schedule for late September. We're looking at dates on the 14th, the 16th, the 22nd, or the 23rd, I think, are the leading dates. We're not sure yet. The next project advisory group meeting will be August 26th at 2 p.m. And we also have our public outreach sub-consultant, Denise Grabowski, will be interviewing Garden City Council members next week and the week after for their priorities for the corridor. And that's about all I have for that one. So that one's just a little over 50% probably by now. Any questions on State Route 21 Access Management Study?
No.
Shall I go on to the State Route 307?
Yes, please.
Okay. State Route 307 Corridor Study, not quite as far along. We kicked off that study with the consultant on April 15th. They had notice to proceed on March 23rd. We received a draft project management work plan on July 23rd, 2021. I know. Yes. I'm going to ask the ladies on the left side of the room to stop talking to me because it messes me up. we are having on both studies, the 21 and the 307, we're having bi-weekly project management meetings. The traffic count map is complete. A rather large amount of traffic counts was graciously donated to this project by Georgia DOT. I think it was somewhere between $80,000 and $90,000 worth. I think I were something in that range. So thank you very much to Georgia DOT. That makes our job much easier with this study. The existing conditions model has been updated based on recent COVID adjustment factors that GDOT has provided. Existing conditions report and the existing conditions report, rather, and online surveys are currently under development. The public participation plan has been received in draft form. We've set up the website. Be sure to check it out. It's on the Core MPO website under studies. And there's a live link where you can sign up for study updates. And if you put your information in that little form that pops up, Denise Grabowski will get all your information and she'll send you a whole bunch of information on the study. So the study was approximately 12% complete as of the end of July. So, you know, we're probably somewhere close to 20% now. We've got about 8 or 9 months to go, I'd say. And that's all I have. Any questions on 307?
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
All right, if there are no questions about those studies from Mark, then we'll move on to the information reports. GDOT, is there anyone that wants to go over those projects today?
Sure, this is Katie.
Thanks, Katie. If you wanna just, you don't have to read every one, if you wanna just hit the highlights.
Okay, let's see, on the pre-construction list today we have two bridge replacements, one at Savannah River and one at Middle River. These are both scheduled to let in September. me see if I can make it shorter. We have 15151. This is Abercorn safety improvement. It's anticipated to PFPR in September. And we have Back River and the major widening up to Back River that is still in concept. Let's see, our Brampton Road connector from State Road 2125 to State Road 21 Spur is anticipated to let this month. Moving on to active. New on the report, we have 6078, that is State Road 307 Spur, and it is, it let in July last month, I'm sorry, and also letting in July was State Road 21, State Road 30 intersection improvements and turning lanes there. And also added to the list of active is I-16 from I-95 to I-15 and I-16 at 307. And these two projects have completed all of their pre-construction tasks and have moved to the active construction. And that is all. Unless you have questions about some of the others.
This is Pete from Tybee. I've got a couple questions. The bridge replacements at the Bull River on Lazaretto Creek.
Yes, sir.
It still says there, one says 22, one says 23 now. Can you give me a update on these two projects?
I know there was some funding moving around. I know the next milestone on Bull River is to approve the schedule. And they have PFPR, and the other one is anticipated PFPR in September.
Right. Are those still on schedule for that?
Hey, Katie, let me jump in. This is Troy with GDOT. So those two projects, you know, we started those projects as a whole with the two projects, the two bridge projects in the causeway. And we've since then we split them up to three separate projects to help move those bridges forward. Right now we're still waiting on approved schedules for both of those two bridge projects. Now we've already done a lot of preliminary environmental and engineering work. That's why we're getting ready to go to PFPR, but we're still waiting on those approved schedules. And then we're also waiting on for that funding to line up. But for the most part, I believe the construction funding for these two projects is correct. So the Bull River is in 2022 and Lazaretto is scheduled for 2023.
Okay. And we're still using we still got the Z230 and other funding.
Yeah, as far as I know, the funding that we have allocated for those is still the same. It hasn't changed.
Okay, I do have a question. Actually, we still have a balance of about more than $600,000 of HIP funds, Highway Infrastructure Improvement Program funds, lying over there. So we decided not to do another call for project because those funds are pretty much reserved for these two projects.
So understanding, yes.
Yeah, so I just want to make sure that is still the case, because if you don't need those funds, we probably need to do the call for projects, roll those out as well.
Well, I would like to see these projects get started. It's been a long haul on these two bridges, and that when we broke them apart, it's actually expedited the construction on these. So I just want to make sure that we don't lose our place. I know it says that approved schedule anticipated September. I'm just looking for more of a concrete update on those and concrete schedule.
Yeah, I thought the HIP funds are probably reserved for the right-of-way, allocated for the right-of-way phase. So What is the status on the right-of-way for these two projects?
Stand by. I'm trying to pull the PSR up on them right now. Let's see. So again, like I'm pulling up, I'm looking at 17414, and right now I don't have an approved schedule. The funding based on this schedule is sitting in 2022. I don't think that is correct. But once that schedule gets posted, that funding will get shifted appropriately and we'll know where it is. So unfortunately, I can't give you a concrete on when that right of way is going to get authorized.
Okay.
And yeah, that's Bull River. Lazarus is a little further off.
Okay, but I thought a couple meetings ago this was all the right of way was being finalized in 21, it'd be ready to go in 22, and we had construction in 22.
So with these projects being split up and the schedules having to be reaccomplished, well, number one, what's driving this right-of-way phase is getting environmental approval. So we're still working through that process. So, you know, we have to go to PFPR, finalize those right-of-way plans, and then get environmental approval before we can authorize the right-of-way. So that's what's driving this. I mean, what you were probably told 2021, I'm sure that was a snapshot at that time, but these things do tend to shift, unfortunately.
Right.
Yeah, right. We don't want to take the risk of losing the HIP funds because they do have a very urgent deadline. So we don't want the funds to lapse. So if you cannot spend that money, you need to let us know. So that we can allocate that funds to the projects that need it.
Yeah, if it turns out that they can't use it on those before it lapses, can we look at what other projects got the HIP funds and maybe reallocate it to one of those?
If you don't have time to do another call for project, we can probably just look at some like Z230 funded projects, allocate those funds to those that they can really spend them.
Weren't there three or four projects that got HIP funds? At least two or three.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I know the I-16 JDP one did, but I can't think of off the top of my head. I'm not sure what other ones did.
Yeah, I know we have a balance about $680,000. At that time, GDOT recommended that we just keep that just for these two projects, just in case.
But my understanding is that the HIP funding was going to go to these two projects, and if these are going to get delayed, I really don't want to lose my funding.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll hold them out for those two projects as long as we can. But like Wycota says, we don't want to let it lapse if they can't be used. But I guess we could always use, like, if we had to, the call for projects that we're doing now. That's, you know, requesting the Z230 or some other type of funds. If they could also use these HIP funds, maybe we could just, you know, allocate it there.
Yeah, we just need to be notified as soon as possible.
So where are the HIP funds for 17415? What fiscal year are they located in?
This is so hard for me. Okay, let me check.
Well, we may not be able to work this out today. I don't want to drag this meeting out for another.
Yeah.
We may have to follow up with emails on this.
I just don't want to lose sight of this project because it's been on the books for so long that it just kind of falls through the cracks again.
Yeah, I will follow up on the HIP funds because right now I cannot access my network. So
okay, thank you, Wycota.
I don't have O drive over here.
All right. Are there any other questions about any of the GDOT projects? Okay. I'm going to move on to Chatham County projects. We can unusually about out of construction projects. The US Quaco at 17 intersection improvement project is the only one that we have still under construction. I'm sorry, I'm going backwards. But that one is substantially complete. So really pretty much all our projects right now are pre-construction projects. We've got a bunch of those. So we got the I-16 at Jimmy Dulwich Parkway. That was just awarded. The design contract was just awarded to VHB. We've got Chavis Road Improvement Projects that is currently in the QBS project process, as is Girard Avenue. So we're looking for a design firm for that. Quaco Road Widening is the right-of-way acquisition is nearly, it's almost complete. And so hopefully we'll start some constructions on that one soon. Little Neck Road, we should start right-of-way acquisition on that one shortly. Skidaway Road Improvement Project, I do want to announce that we are having a public information open house, and that will be August 26th. Next Thursday between 5 and 7. It will be in person at the Public Works Building. And you can look on our county website for more specific information. And then we will also post the concept plan and comment form on the website as well.
Where is the Public Works Building located?
Varnado Drive. I don't have the exact address right now, sorry. But I can send you guys a copy of the flyer for that. Okay. And Islands Expressway, that one we should be able to put, we're just waiting on environmental permitting, so we should be able to get that out soon. Let's see. And yeah, and the others are all in the works. That's, is there any specific questions about any projects? Okay, if not, let's move on to City of Savannah. Does anybody with the City of Savannah want to go over their projects, please?
This is Barry Stanton, City of Savannah Traffic Engineer. First project is DeLesseps Avenue widening from Waters Avenue to Skidaway Road. I think the contract has been signed since the update. The construction agreement with GDOT is working its way through the department, and as soon as we get a signed agreement, we'll be holding the pre-construction meeting. Next one is the traffic control center. From what I'm told, the funding was moved to fiscal year 2022. The next project is Project Duran. Right-of-way plans preparation is ongoing. Submitted preliminary responses to FHWA. I think we got an update today that those, or the consultant, responded to the last round of comments, and they're with GDOT. Truman Trail Phase 2B, final submittal for PCE review approved. Approval have been completed. Anticipate GDOT PCE approval within the next 2 weeks. Anticipate notice to proceed for right-of-way phase by the end of August. That's all I have.
I do have a question about the traffic control center. We know that we have removed from 2021 to 2022, but what is the progress on the city's part on this project?
I think, well, we're waiting to move. We're, in case you don't know, we're moving to a new building. And I think once we get over there, that's when the procurement process will start.
Okay, so you don't, okay.
And that'll, and the move, Yeah, the move is to happen first week of September.
If I could, well, Wycote, if I could elaborate, they GDOT traffic ops, you know, are actually sort of running this. They're doing it like a design build project. The project manager, Barry Jeremy Busby, I think I'm right on the name. He's pretty much told us that this year, I'm talking about this calendar year, not this fiscal year, that they'll take care of getting all the procurements in place and getting that done. So that this one is moving along. They just got a little bit crammed with some of the stuff they were doing. What I would like to say also about Project Duren. Duren is one of two environmental impact statements that are running in the state of Georgia right now. And as most of us know, an EIS is the worst document that we have to do. But right now, that document is actually under legal sufficiency review, which is one of those last steps for getting your ROD, your record of decision. Right now, we're scheduled to have the record of decision in April of next year, sort of the anticipation of it. And that's a true positive to the project. You know, that would mean that right away, we'll certainly be authorized in FY22.
Okay, so between April and June, we still have 2 months. So you think that, so for the right-of-way authorization, we still have our fingers crossed?
Never been closer.
Okay, just keep us posted.
Okay, thank you. Moving on, is there anyone from CAT on the phone or with us to go over the projects?
Brandeis resigned, so Shalanda was like taking place. Yeah, Shalanda, are you still on the phone? You need to unmute yourself.
Okay, well, we can come back to CAT. Obviously the status report is there if anyone wants to just look at that. The LATS, that's the Low Country. What does LATS stand for again? Low Country
Air Transportation Study.
Thank you. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, Stephanie provided this status report. So the US 80 widening project, you can just read this report over here. So what is going on with the US 17 widening project?
Excellent, thank you. Let's see, the tip tracking.
The tip trackers, we started to talk about this in February. And we developed this is the template. So every other month, we send this information to the project sponsors. And thanks, Pam, Barry, and actually Shalanda, so it just confirms and then the GDOT about the US 80. Those are the three HEAP projects. Actually have the HEAP projects right here, the US 80. So basically I don't see that much progress since last June, since last update. But we will just keep on tracking this so that we know that if we have something, if we don't make it, or if we don't have a problem getting the funds authorized or something, we just need to report this. So we just keep on checking on this project status.
Okay, thank you, Wycote. Is there any questions about that? Okay, moving on to the notable presentations from webinars and workshops.
Yeah, these are just, I think that we mentioned this in ADFAC meeting this morning because of the recommendations from Federal Certification Review. It says the MPO should incorporate at best practice a process where staff reports out to committees and internal staff after attending trainings, seminars, conferences, audits, participating webinars, et cetera, to ensure the information is disseminated. So we're just, I mean, this is just implementation of one of the federal certification recommendations. So when staff attends the trainings and we think the information might be relevant to the MPO. So what I included here are the three presentation files from one of the Talking Freight webinars about freight resiliency. So if you're interested, you can just take a look at this. And so actually some of these are models. So quite interesting information. So just attached over here for information purposes.
Okay, thank you, Weka. All right, any other public comments at this time? If you would like to raise your hand on the webinar, we'll get to you if you have a question.
Hey, I have a question, and it's pertaining to next week's core meeting. I know the last meeting they said it was going to be in person. Has that changed, or is they, are they still planning on having an in-person meeting?
I know we're going to be in person, but is there a virtual option?
I think it's
on
that? Hybrid. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so it's going to be like today's meeting. You have the choice. Okay. Other than that, let's see notices. So the MPO meeting is what, next Wednesday at 10, and that will be, again, that's both in person and virtual. The next TCC meeting is Thursday, October 21st at 2 p.m. And looks like the Coastal Georgia Transit Needs Survey as Wycota, you want to talk to that about that at all?
Who was doing this? Yeah, Asia.
Asia.
Yeah. Asia, please unmute yourself.
Yeah. Sorry about that. So the survey is linked to this document. So the survey wants to identify any service gaps within public transportation within the Coastal Georgia area.
Yeah, so you have the survey link over here. So if you want to take the survey, just click on the link.
Okay, thank you. Other than that, the MPC is accepting feedback on the 2040, that's the MTP plan, long range transportation plan. Oh, that's something else. This is something separate, isn't it?
Yeah, that's for Plan 2040 comprehensive plan.
Okay, so is there a link there for that too?
So that's just a poster, but if you go on the website mpc.compplan2040.org, we're still accepting comments on chapters, and you can also just email me or go to the advanced planning section on the MPC website, and I can also email everyone a link to the Plan 2040 website as well, so you can submit your feedback.
Okay, for anybody that hasn't already done so, that'd be great. I'm sure they'd love to get more information. Thank you. Okay, so the last, I think this is the last item, is the 2021 TIP administrative modifications.
Alicia.
Yep, that'll be me. An administrative modification is different from an amendment. The modifications are for minor changes to the TIP, and they don't require public review or comments. But recently, GDOT made a request for one, and it's for SR-25 at Savannah River and Port Wentworth for the big bridge replacement projects. And the request was for the right-of-way phase to receive a minor cost increase and then move it from fiscal year 2021 to 2022. And that's it.
Excellent. Thank you. Does anybody have any questions about that? Okay. All right. Well, I think that wraps it up, unless there's, are there any last comments or questions before we go? Thank you, everyone, for attending. We are adjourned.